this guy, he wrote emails because he couldn't call. He wrote emails to 30 different people in NASA every single day for 6 weeks before he finally got one to respond. And now he's working with NASA to help them with his program, create a fitness program for their astronauts to help them develop the plan to colonize Mars.
This is Digital Marketer. This week, it's Mike Arce. Mike is the owner of Loud Rumor, a seven-figure advertising agency for fitness studios and gyms.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, man. Well, last time the technical issues kind of got in the way of us publishing this episode, but
it was meant to be.
This is going to be way better. So, Mike, why don't you take 2 minutes? Tell us who you are.
So my name is Mike, and I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona. I own an ad agency for fitness studios and wellness companies. We work with over 1,000 studios throughout the world, from US to Australia to Hong Kong, and we're the best at what we do.
I love it. So let's go back to the beginning. How'd you get involved in this world of marketing and fitness and all of this fun stuff?
So fitness is what happened first.
Okay.
I was in martial arts for a long time, 12 years. I got 2-time state champ in Arizona. I travel all across the country. I competed in worlds. And right around when I was 20 years old, I noticed that boys that I was fighting were turning into men. You know, like that 18-year-old body starts turning into a 20-year-old body, 21-year-old body?
Yeah.
And I was still like lean. I'm lean by nature.
Uh-huh.
And so I wanted to learn how to put on some weight, and I didn't have money. So I switched my major at the time at college from business to personal training, because they had a personal training course, like 18-credit course, one semester.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll just learn everything a trainer knows. So I did, and then like the last few weeks of being awarded with, you know, your credits and all that stuff, and getting your certification, what you have to do is you have to take on a client. So I took on a couple clients, students, and I thought it was like the coolest thing in the world,
because
they were getting results, and you know, even just in a couple weeks, they were feeling better and being a little stronger, and I was like, wow, this is really cool. So, you know, at the time I was a waiter at a restaurant, and instead I went to apply at LA Fitness, and I was like, let me see if I can get a job here as a trainer. Now I'm certified. And I got a job selling training first, and then got promoted to trainer, and I sold more clients than anybody ever had in 1 month. My first month, I got 42 clients.
No shit.
Which the record before that was 26 in a month from any one trainer.
Okay. And, so you were onto something.
And I was like, I wasn't even 21 yet.
Wow.
So then from there, I was promoted to assistant manager, and then I started managing clubs, and then they just eventually started sending me to the clubs that were underperforming, and my job was to get them to perform.
Gotcha.
And then from there, it just kind of took off, and I went into this whole thing, like most fitness guys do. I don't know how many fitness people you know, but you stay in the game, but you switch teams a lot. So I went from LA Fitness to Fitness One to Goals. I started my own business and had a few people working underneath me. What I realized was I really like the marketing and sales part. I like getting the clients. I like servicing too, but I like getting them. And economy hit. You heard some of my story in the past, but ultimately what ended up happening was I started a marketing agency for certain things that happened. And I was servicing at the time anybody. It didn't matter what you did, because I was cocky at the time. I thought I was just good at sales and marketing. It didn't matter what it was.
Yeah. And apply this to anything.
I applied to anything. And you know what? I could sell, but advertising each person was a little different. Like the unique value props for a home inspection company is very different than a plumber and a plastic surgeon. And so,
totally.
So even though we were able to build up our agency to about 500 grand, which is cool, but we were stuck there for 3 years, and that sucked.
Oh, man.
And so then I started hiring coaches and mentors. One of them gave me the idea to niche. I niched into what my previous passion was, which was fitness. And from there, we took off. So it took me 6 years without niching. It took me 6 years just to get 42 clients.
Mm-hmm.
In the first 18 months of niching, I got over 500.
No.
So we more than 10x'd our results in 18 months. What we were able to do in the first 6 years just by niching and really just being great at that one thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So let's dive into that a little bit more. What was involved in that niching process? I mean, obviously, you just kind of say, all right, you know, draw a line in the sand and make the change. But was that a big leap of faith, or was that something that you were confident
in? It wasn't even the first niche we picked.
Okay. Okay.
So the first niche I picked was dentists, believe it or not.
No kidding.
Because out of the 42 clients we had, I just coincidentally had 11 dentists. So the most logical thing to niche in seemed to be dentists, because we already had a strong base, had a lot of clientele. We had a good portfolio to be able to go pitch. But, you know, it was harder to get them. And we weren't really having the much luck that we were. And keep in mind, it was only like a couple weeks, right?
So it
was
But
I'm impatient. So it was a couple weeks and I was like, oh, this just isn't fun. I don't even like pitching to Dennis. And then on the side, we ended up getting this fitness studio right down the block, literally right down the block from our office. And we're like, all right, that's cool. So we got her on, and we were on average for all the companies we were working with before in the past. If we were getting them 30 to 40 leads in a month, we were pretty excited.
Yeah.
We got her 437 leads in her first month, and she was like blown away. She didn't know what to do. And
whoa.
The best part about that was because she was so lost, she didn't know what to do. I eventually had to jump in and help her with stuff I practiced for 7 years, right? How to sell fitness and how to manage and how to set expectations, do all this stuff. And I loved it. I loved every minute of it because I was so good at it. I built a skill set around it. And then I had a meeting with Rob, our VP of operations now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, man, I think fitness, we go fitness. And he already hates me at this point because I'm like, let's niche.
Yeah,
let's do Dennis. And then we decided, we're like, okay, this is it though. We're going to do it. And we did. We jumped all in. We changed our website. Our fears were initially like our clients are going to look at the website and be like, whoa, what's going on? I'm a dentist. What's this fitness stuff about?
Right.
But we were like, forget it. If they cancel, they cancel. That just puts us even more in burning the boat situation.
Uh-huh.
Let's go get more fitness. And it definitely did. And we didn't lose as many clients as we thought we were going to lose. In fact, we actually still have 11 3 years later from that initial 42. And I don't think we lost anybody because of that. We just attrition over 3 years. We lost 30 people, you know?
No doubt.
And not putting any attention into dental or medical or anything, right?
So you said you still have some of those clients.
We still have 11 of
that
initial
awesome.
42, yeah.
Have they made any comments? Or
no, they're like, dude, I don't care what you do. You can go sell. One of them literally said, Mike, you can literally go sell drugs. I don't care as long as you keep getting me customers.
There you go.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to sell drugs, but I'll keep getting you leads.
That's cool. No doubt. All right. So you made this switch and you started to grow. You started to get a lot more clients.
Mm-hmm.
What was that scaling up process like? A lot of our audience, you know, gets to a point where you are and they're on the cusp of scaling up, but there's a lot of things that get in the way, a lot of non-technical things, the things that you're good at, the marketing, but more of the operational stuff that gets in the way.
Yeah. Well, you have to hire leaders.
Okay.
And you have to develop leaders. So we didn't hire leaders. We developed leaders from our people that we already had, right? So Rob, like I said, he's our VP of operations now. But initially, he was a guy that I hired for $12 an hour to help me build Facebook ads. And then once we got 6 account managers, I mean, he was so reliable and he was good and he cared. And so I then promoted him to agency fulfillment manager, which basically meant you are managing the account managers. You're making sure they were recruiting for them, we're interviewing, we're hiring, we're developing, we're training, all that stuff. Handling any questions that a customer has, it's a little over their head.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hired an agency fulfillment manager to take Rob's spot and another one to take some other spots. And we promoted Rob to VP of operations, and he's now running the entire organization. And we have leaders in some other spots as well, but you can't lead all the people.
Yeah.
22 people is just too many people to lead. Everyone's got issues, you know, some personal, some with customers, some with other coworkers, some with, you know, there's just so many things that come up. And, you know, if you only have 4 or 5 employees, you may only have a couple issues arise a week. But when you have 22, it's like every day there's 1 or 2 things that an employee wants to come and talk to you about or has a question on or is confused about. And in order for me to break away, I had to hire leadership to be able to work with them. And then I meet with my leaders every week for an hour and a half in a leadership meeting to go over stuff that may have been over their head and constantly work and develop with them.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, hell of a story. Hell of a come up there.
Yeah,
I love
it. Appreciate it.
So let's get into the nitty gritty of what's working now in the world of marketing.
All right.
I got to start with what's getting you the most excited right now? What are you seeing as kind of the big wave coming through as we move into the new year?
You know, you hear all the time, like put out content, right? And I believe in that. But what I was doing was I was putting out so much content for the world and the people that were paying me money, my actual clients, I wasn't giving them any more content than I was giving the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I was giving them the service that they hired me for, but I wasn't, in regards to the efforts I did to teach and train and all that, I was helping them as much as I was helping anybody else that wasn't paying me money. And so what I decided to start doing was really focus on my clients and really focus on them. And how can I get it so that I can continue to sell to you? Because that, number one, improves attrition, right? Like, you don't want to continue losing people. But what it also helps with is upgrades, upsells, and add-ons and referrals and testimonials. Because what I realized was, man, I created this awesome Facebook group where I create exclusive content just for my customers. On top of that, I have a whole learning center platform where I invite the best of the best. I literally travel to the best studios in the country and I interview them and I find out every step by step how they're doing stuff. And then I plug it in here and I invite them in the group and everything.
That's cool.
So, but here's what happens. And I realize, and this is, I think, the wave, right? We're all taught to put out content. I think we should still do that. But putting out exclusive content for your existing customers, what I learned is when I did that, number one, less people were canceling. So our retention's way better, number one. Number two, our average value per customer has gone up by almost 30%. So that means people are spending about 30% more every month with us by getting more Instagram, YouTube ads, chatbots, whatever we're offering. People are spending more with us. Mm-hmm. That's number two. Number three, people are actually helping each other. So now I post content and then that would spark ideas and people would ask questions in that comment, in that video. So let's say I put a video of, you know, how to effectively boost your content on Facebook. Well, you'll have a studio owner comment with a question on the video. And without me having to answer it, other studio owners will come in and they'll actually support each other.
Yeah.
And law of reciprocity keeps it going harder and the fire's crazy. Like there's like five or six questions a day and they're all helping each other. Now there's a community. What also we got out of it is people wanted to find a way to talk with me because they see me so much. To most of the world, I'm nobody, but to my people, I am a, like an authority, right? They want to learn from me.
Of course.
Like your people are with Ryan and, you know, Russell Brunson's got his people. I've got mine. Well, what that allowed us to do is say, hey, we can get on a call with Mike, but we want to shoot a testimonial video while we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And so now we've got testimonial videos all over the place. And in those interviews, I'm actually able to answer questions along the way and I have content from it too. So now I'm actually repurposing those calls for content that I can put in the group online and also get a testimonial for.
Yeah.
So I think now that you have Facebook groups and you have great learning platforms like Kajabi or, you know, Lightspeed or any of these things, I think the really it's how do we create more for our people so our people can spend more money with us, build a stronger relationship with us, refer more people because it's the cool, they're so excited about it.
Yeah.
And feel like they're getting something that the other people thought they already were getting, but they don't even know. Mm-hmm. There's so much more we're getting. And if you were paying, you'd know. You think you're learning from Mike, you're not learning from Mike.
That's awesome.
You know?
Great way to put it too, because man, I tell you what, you know, my background is social media and I remember the day that organic reach just was cut by like 80%.
Yeah,
I remember
more.
Waking up that morning and looking at, you know, I checked the numbers every morning and it was like, whoo, what happened here? You know, and I mean, that was almost 2 years ago now that that happened. And, you know, I look at social media today and I'm like, people are still running the same
plays.
Yes, the same plays as before that happened. And it's just no wonder we're not ROIing on our social media, you know? And I guess that's really what leads into my next question is like, is there a place for organic social media? And if so, what is it in your, you know,
I definitely think there's a place for organic social media, but I think you should boost all your content regardless, right?
Pay to play.
Yeah. Because when you have people that are following you, I have people that have told me I've set notifications up for when you post.
Yeah.
Right. Now that may not happen for anybody that's listening in. That's just starting content. You're probably not going to notice you're going to get any traction organically without that. But once you start building more and more and you have people that are like, I really like Mike's stuff. The last thing that he told me to do, I did and it worked. Now I want to follow him and see what else he's got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for that, you're going to get free awareness, right? Like it's like, you know, some people get freaked out because they only have like 300 people look at their YouTube video or their Instagram video. And it's like, you freak out about 300 people, but you're excited about speaking in front of 100.
Yeah.
Like if somebody asked you to speak in front of 100 people, would you be jazzed right now? Yeah.
Hell
okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is three times that many. Just because you can't. Problem is when you're speaking, you can see it. You're in it. But look, what if you can have a monitor where you can watch all 300 people watching your video? Would that change your perspective? It would. The problem is you don't, and therefore it doesn't seem real, but it is real. And posting stuff regularly for your followers, your biggest followers, is important for them to continue being that way. And then you still run your ads and all that, but why wouldn't you take care of the people that have decided they're going to follow you no matter what you post? You should take care of them the most.
No doubt. Let's jump into a client story. So this year in 2018, can you walk us through a client that you had that you were able to do some pretty amazing stuff for them?
Dude, I got the best one. So this guy's name's Daniel.
Okay.
Check this out. This guy, he just moved to the country from Turkey like 7 years ago.
Okay.
he just learned English when he got here, right? Started his business when he got here. So within the last, it's like 6 to 7 years, he moved to America, learned English, and started a business. Before that, he was a hockey player in Turkey. That's what he did. So he didn't have a business, no schooling, nothing like that. So this guy comes and he's struggling, and he's got this one studio location. Super smart guy, though. I mean, he was like dedicated. I tell him to read a book and he'd read a book, right? I tell him to read two books, he'd read two. Yeah. And he'd do it before I could even ask him how it's going, right? He'd finish it. And this guy was just really going at it. He's now opening up at his 8th location, okay? Not only that.
Man.
Hold on, that's not even close.
Okay.
He wrote a best-selling fitness business book. Okay? Now, hold on, we're not done.
It keeps on rolling, but wait, there's more.
He got in a Netflix documentary with Arnold Schwarzenegger called Pumping Iron, yeah. or Generation Iron 2 or something like that.
I've seen it.
Yeah, so yeah. He's the guy, if you looked, the guy that has the muscle stimulation, like, did you see where they have the muscle stimulation in like the body and they have the bodybuilders like exercising and it's like these wires hanging from them?
Yeah.
That guy's Daniel. That's my client. On top of that, and this is the biggest one, he followed up, and this is how important follow-up is for those people out there that think they're salespeople, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, he wrote emails, because he couldn't call. He wrote emails to 30 different people in NASA every single day for 6 weeks before he finally got one to respond. And now he's working with NASA to help them with his program, create a fitness program for their astronauts to help them develop the plan to colonize Mars.
Wow.
It's all happened inside of 1 year.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
That's insane.
That's my guy. Now, keep in mind, I'm not taking credit for that.
Yeah, I'm just saying
he did all that. He worked, he hustled, he did all that. And I was just glad to ride along and watch him because it's been inspiring for our other fitness studio owners. Like now it's like that 4 minute mile, right? You don't think you can do this or that. But then you got this guy that just learned English, just moved to the country, had no network, had no money, nothing, had no business background, no family, nothing, just by himself. And he comes out and then he meets his girl. Now his wife helps him a lot too. I mean, he did all that in 1 year.
That's cool.
Pretty cool, right?
That is really cool. So do you find that you learn a lot from your clients?
I learn most of it from my clients.
Yeah.
So like I said, I travel throughout the country to interview them. And I think everyone should do that. I think people should interview their best clients regularly and find a way to reward them for it. You know, give them something. If it's a $100 Amazon gift card or, you know, hook them up with some like free calls where like you show them how to do stuff on their own, or maybe you do sales training for their team. Like I went down that guy I was telling you about.
Yeah.
I learned a lot from him. A lot of our suggestions of what to do in the sales process and the upsell and all that, that a lot of our fitness studio owners use now, it's called the Daniel play, right? Mm-hmm. In return though, I randomly flew out to Florida and I spent the whole day with him and his team. And we talked about sales strategies and systems and how you could do things better. And I created content. We got value out of it. He got value out of it.
Yeah.
So you should find a way to collaborate with, if you ever read the book, The Pumpkin Plan by Mike Michalowicz.
I haven't read that one.
It's an amazing book, but it talks about the difference between growing regular pumpkins and colossal pumpkins. And there's a there's a big difference. It's not like, oh, well, that's a colossal pumpkin seed, right? Like Shaq's baby should be big. It's not just that. It's also the method that goes along with farming them and getting them to come to fruition. There's a process, and it's funny how it relates to business. The idea is simple. To grow regular pumpkins, the ones you buy at Walmart during Thanksgiving and Halloween, those you just plant the seeds, and you know if you notice they're not sprouting, whatever ones aren't sprouting, you just kind of loosen the dirt a little bit, give them a little bit more attention, some water, some nutrients, whatever, and then all of a sudden they start sprouting, and that's it. They all end up right around the same weight. Colossal pumpkins, the opposite. You start with seeds that came from a pumpkin that size, but then you plant them, and then after planting them, then what you got to do is you say, okay, whichever one is starting to sprout, that's the one that's the strongest. I'm going to remove all the other seeds to make sure nobody steals nutrients from him. And I'm going to press the dirt down harder and challenge it. And the same thing with your clients. We all spend so much time with the clients that are struggling, right? We're on the phone with, oh, but what about Daniel? Oh, Daniel's awesome. I'm not even worried about him. Daniel's the one you should be spending time with.
Mm-hmm.
The rock star. Same thing with your employees, right? Oh, well, you're spending so much time with, you know, Phil. I know Phil's really struggling to pick up on this stuff. I know, but what about Rob? Rob's a rock star. He's a loyalist. He ain't going nowhere. Rob's the one you need to spend time with.
Yeah.
He's got all the potential, right? Daniel, the client's got all the potential. You can help him most And when you help him most, because he's that type of person, he'll help your other customers most too.
Yeah. Great analogy. I'll have to pick that book up.
Pumpkin Plan. And it goes deep, but it's really cool. It's great for generating your own business. Yeah. Pumpkin Plan's phenomenal.
Okay. I'll check that out. A lot of people have been asking or talking, you know, just in the world that we live in about Facebook advertising just getting too expensive, mm-hmm. just increasing out of this world. And I'm curious to kind of, you know, as somebody who, you know, runs an agency and who sees this stuff on across a lot of businesses, you know, what your take on this is, you know, is, mm-hmm. is this something that is just going to keep increasing, or is this something that we just have to adapt to and become better at to work with the system?
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah.
All of it. Right. So number one, Facebook is going to go up in price, right? Because mm-hmm. now all the late adopters are even jumping on, right? Yeah. The people that initially 2 years ago said, my people aren't on Facebook. Those people finally realize they were idiots, yeah. right? So now they're yeah. coming on board. And so, yeah, Facebook costs are going to go up. Now, is it too expensive or is it more expensive? Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, just because you're not getting, you know, 12 cent clicks anymore, and because you're not getting dollar leads anymore, doesn't mean a $5 lead is necessarily bad if it's farther down the funnel and you actually have a funnel to make sure that that lead actually can convert into a customer, right? Mm-hmm. So yes, your next part is you do have to get better at it. Are you creating more down the funnel so that you're not just hoping that the top layer closes, you can get people all the way through? That's big. The other question is, we'll keep changing. Yeah, so I mean, I don't know how old you are. You look young.
26.
26. Okay, so that would make 9 years ago. So you weren't really, you were 17 years old when I was doing SEO.
Yeah.
SEO is the big thing for local businesses. Mm-hmm. It's very different now. If you're a barber or a dentist or a fitness studio, it's not the first go-to. Mm-hmm. So then everyone had to switch to AdWords, right? Once SEO had all these changes, and you may not know these terms, but they had algorithm updates like Penguin and Panda and Hummingbird,
uh-huh.
all these yep. things, right? So then everyone switched to AdWords because they still wanted the Google traffic and they were willing to pay for it. So then they went to AdWords. Well, then AdWords went from $2 cost per clicks to $18, $20 cost per clicks. And then Facebook came around. Facebook came around. It was great. And now everyone's used. So will there be another thing? Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. But the way to beat it, I'm friends with Russell Brunson. He and I got a mm-hmm. chance to talk a little about this. And what he actually was saying is, you know, the power along, no matter where you were in the stream, is building your list, right? And so at the end of the day, what if all the leads you got through SEO, you were building a list the entire time, and now when you switch to AdWords, you immediately were able to upload that list and run Google display ads to it. And then you built your list even more. Now when Facebook came in, you can upload your list and run ads on Facebook. And now when the next thing is, you have your big list and you can upload it. Whatever the next thing is, we may not even know. Maybe it's not a next thing, it's a different version of Facebook.
Yep.
We don't know. We could have never seen Facebook coming when AdWords was out. Mm-mm. Who knew what social media was going to be, right?
Oh yeah.
But the bottom line is, you can either buy traffic, you can earn traffic, or you can own traffic, right? Buy it is pay-per-click. Earning it is like this, right? I'm earning traffic right now mm-hmm. by talking to you, getting mm-hmm. being a guest on podcasts, on stages, content, right? And so we're leveraging each other's traffic. I'm earning your traffic and,
yep.
and vice versa, you're earning mine as I share it.
Of course.
But then there's also owning traffic, which is, okay, well, now that we earn the traffic, do we have some sort of a lead magnet in order to capture that? And now we own that traffic. We can email that audience anytime we want to. We can run ads to it, all that. So mm-hmm. I think people should be focusing very heavily on building up their email list.
Yeah.
Not because you want to email them, but because you can take that and upload it to the next thing, yeah. whatever it would be. It's, right now, YouTube seems to be pretty cool.
Yeah. I've been seeing a lot of really cool things on YouTube. I actually recently was watching a video, you know, one of my favorite creators on YouTube runs a tech channel, and literally the ad before the...
Who is it?
MKBHD.
Okay.
Marques Brownlee.
Okay.
Anyways, before the video, these guys, I can't remember the phone case, but they made a phone case for, you know, swapping out camera lenses for your iPhone.
Okay.
They literally said in the ad, like, hey, before you watch Marquez's video, let's talk about this. And literally, I mean, YouTube video pre-roll is just getting insane. And it's amazing. It's cool
so
to see.
It's so affordable.
Yeah.
It's so affordable. Like, and 96% of your traffic's free. Because like the 5 second ads in stream, you don't pay unless it's a true view, and 96% mm-hmm. of people are skipping.
Do you think that'll ever change?
I think it might change even higher. I mean, do you think our attention span is getting longer?
Well, I'm asking, do you think Google's going to start charging?
Well, I think it's a bidding system like anything else.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
they're charging what they're going to be charging. The difference is how many late adopters still are alive today like they were 10 years ago.
Yep, yep.
So all the people right now, they're like, ah, oh, YouTube, I got to make a video, blah, blah, I got to. You don't got to. You get to.
Yeah.
You live in a place right now where you can make a video and you can get it seen by hundreds of thousands of people that fit your target demographic, and you're acting like it's a chore?
Mm-hmm.
My father, who owned a business in 1992, if I told him that was available today, he would think everyone that's not optimizing that opportunity today is an absolute, like, selfish, like, spoiled brat.
Yep, yep.
Like, how could you think you have to make a video to show it to the world for pennies?
Right.
What a world.
Uh-huh.
It's like, what you get to. Stop looking at this like the biggest chore.
It's
an amazing journey.
Yeah. We've built up this mentality that video is just this big, scary, expensive thing. But in reality, it's not. Hell, you can...
A house is, but we pay for that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, I'm so glad you said that, just because I believe that through and through. So, Mike, one question that we ask everyone who comes on the podcast is to kind of take a step back in time and look at 25-year-old Mike and mm-hmm. say, through all of this experience that I've gained, through my entrepreneurial journey, I've learned a lot. What's something that you wish you could go back and tell 25-year-old Mike?
Take better care of your health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fitness guy saying that.
Yeah, well, because I was fit, but I was like 25-year-old fit, which meant I could eat a whole pizza and go work out and I would look the same.
Yeah, yeah.
But the problem is there's aesthetically fit and then there's internally, like, how are you eating to really make sure that your mind has full capacity to learn, to think, to react, to predict.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've started getting into health coaches and stuff like that now and you know, doing blood work. And I'm 36. I'm not like an old guy. Mm-hmm. I like working my body like I would work a business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why am I putting so much time into my business and optimizing and finding a way to create plans and getting analytics on it and reacting to the analytics? But for my own body, the person running the show, I'm not. So I decided to start doing that. And you know what? I have seen a difference. And I haven't seen a huge difference like, you know, some people claim on social media. I'm very real with what's really happening. I would say the biggest differences are I feel like I learn better. And when I go to sleep, I actually, like, as soon as I hit the pillow, I'm out. And then when I wake up, I'm up, right?
Yeah,
and those
are
some big things for me. And I get sick less often. But what I think the big difference is when I'm 70 years old, you know, Mike A going the way he was going, which wasn't totally unhealthy by any means. It just wasn't using data to understand where my body was at and where, what it needed, right?
Yeah.
So Mike A at 70 versus Mike B, I think Mike A might have some issues. Maybe his employees are thinking he probably needs to step down. He's not mm-hmm. as sharp as he used to be. And maybe Mike B is the one that every employee is going, dude, he's 70 and he's still working this thing. Like, look at him up there. He's crazy.
Yeah.
How does he do it? So I think that's the thing. So I wish I could have started that at 25. I think if I'd have done that, I would have learned more by now and progressed a little faster.
Totally. So is that your plan? Do you have a retirement plan or is it more, I'm going to do this?
Retire. I mean, I don't do it because I have to.
Right.
You know, I have to make enough money to cover my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do it because I actually enjoy doing it. Even when I'm on vacation, my employees are like, don't take your laptop this week. And I'm like, you want me to have a bad vacation? Like, I'm going to be stressed out. Like, uh-huh. I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Every day that I don't go, if I go a day without being on the laptop and checking stuff, you know, I feel like I'm missing something. It's like the fitness guy that didn't get a workout in.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, it's like uncomfortable. It's like telling a fitness guy not to work out during his vacation or to tell a mother not to check on her kids during mm-hmm. vacation. It's like,
yeah.
I love my kids. I want to check on them every day.
Uh-huh.
You know, I love my business. I want to check on it every day.
Awesome.
And so I can't imagine retiring.
That's awesome. One last question for you. Where can people find out more about you and what you've got going on?
So my handles for everything is Mike RC Live. So Mike, and then my last name's RC, spelled A-R-C-E, and then mm-hmm. Live. That's my handle on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all that.
Awesome. All right.
Cool.
Go check out Mike on all of those channels. Well, Mike, thank you so much for sharing all this wisdom with us. I know that the audience out there, everyone listening right now, got a bunch out of it. I did. I'm going to pick up that book.
Pumpkin Plan.
Pumpkin Plan.
Yep, all Pumpkin right. Plan.
Cool, man. Well, next time you're in town, let's do this again.
You got it. Sounds good,
man. All
right,
man.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Digital Marketer Podcast. For more information and show notes, go to digitalmarketer.com/podcast. If you like the show, don't forget to hit subscribe and share. Thanks for listening.
Hey, DM listeners, if you're running a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special, listen up. Because Digital Marketer just released our Canva Holiday Promo Pack. It includes almost 200 templates that you can use to make the graphics for all your upcoming holiday specials and three unique design themes for each holiday. The Promo Pack is usually $27, but you can get it today for free. Check the show notes for the link to download, or you can go directly to digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates. That's digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates.